Hey, y'all. How does a divorced DJ go from a job he didn't love to helping others build a brand they absolutely adore? We're going to talk about that story right now. Hey y'all, what's happening? Robert Kennedy III, RK3, that's me. Welcome to another episode of the What's My Story podcast, how I got from there to here. You know the deal, the show where we talk about pivotal moments in people's lives that really shaped and transformed how they operate now and the success that they have achieved. If you are somebody who is not sure how your business is leading you and you're not clear on what your next steps are, maybe you're encountering something that you feel is keeping you back, this show is the show where we talk about all of those different challenges and we show you through the lives of other people how you can navigate your own stuff to get to the success that you were meant to have. So let's jump in and talk about that a little bit. But before we get to our guest for the day today, I want you to do me a favor. Come on, go right here. Do me a favor. Text me 410-936-4049. If you are interested in figuring out, hey, how can I be on the show? Or if you've got something that you want to say, if you just want to know when we're going live, go ahead and go to 410-936-4049. And you'll be a part of our list where we can kind of share that information with you. I also want to ask you to join me for the Magnify Your Message Experience. Oh yeah. The Magnify Your Message Experience is a workshop that super coaches, Aurora Gregory, Shannon Bussey, myself, we put this together. It's going to be on November 10th. And it is a workshop that is designed to help you discover your story, figure out how to develop your pitch, and deliver your message on your own stage. So join us for the Magnify Your Message Experience that will be happening on November 10th. You want to find out a little bit more about it? Go to magnifyyourmessage.live to grab your seat for today. All right. So we're going to jump into this thing. Oh my goodness. I almost forgot. Before we jump into it, on Thursdays, every Thursday, let's just say that you happen to be, you want to watch this episode. I hope you're not watching it while you're driving because that wouldn't be safe. All right. So we want to make sure that you grab the audio version of this podcast and it's released every Thursday at 7 a.m. Or you could just go to whatsmystorypodcast.live to get the audio versions of all of the episodes of not only today's guest, but all the phenomenal, fabulous guests that we've had for prior episodes. So let's jump in today. My guest today is Leon Street. That's right. Street with an E. And he is a former DJ, a web development expert, a serial entrepreneur, an award-winning podcast host, and an Amazon best-selling author. My man, I want to welcome you to the show, Leon Street. What's happening, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on the show. RK3, I love it. So let's rock and roll.
Yeah. So let's do this. I want to have people see. You've got a background there with some stuff that I want people to see right away. More leads, more clients. What's that about?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
That was the book. Yeah, that was the book that you mentioned. I published this book in 2018, and it's a book to help coaches and consultants, online business owners to become the go-to person in their niche. And it shows you the 10 steps of how to do that.
Love it. So let's take a step back here, man. You know, I'm a person that I see what people do now, but I also know that there is a story behind that. I know that there is a journey to get to the place where they are now. So what's your story, man? We introduced you as a DJ. We introduced you as a web development. You had a web development company. They didn't know that we had that in common.
Correct.
You've done several things. But what would you say is the moment that is stuck in your memory as the time where you're kind of like, you know what, I need to shift, or I need to persevere, I need to get some grit, I need to do something different? if I'm going to make the difference mm-hmm. in the lives of others that I want. What was that moment for you?
Yeah. I think you mentioned it a moment ago about the job, and I can take you a little bit just before the job kind of thing, how the DJ part started. So in 94, I decided I wanted to become a DJ off the back of heavy influences of reggae, which is what my father was into. And, you know, his parents were from Jamaica. And so I grew up in pretty much a sound system household. Mm-hmm. And I got into DJing in 1994 when I was 14, so my 80s baby. And I started DJing drum and bass and jungle, which is like kind of dance music infused with reggae. And, you know, we know it as drum and bass today, but back then it was just like, it was growing. And I just really loved the heavy bass line and the fast beats. And in 95, I really wanted for more people to hear my craft. And so I applied to get onto a pirate radio station back then. And, you know, and that was obviously before your licenses were legal, you could get onto radio. And so in my hometown of Wolverhampton in the UK, I landed a slot on this pirate radio station at 15 years old. And so I had my own 2-hour show, and it kind of just grew from there. I just fell in love more and more with the music. And by the time I was 17, I decided I'd set up my website. And, you know, this is 1997. And I thought, you know what, I'll put my mixes on there, MP3s. And just out of curiosity and creativity, within 3 days, I had a website. I had my mixes on there. People could just download them. And it was a way for me to fast track above everybody else, because everybody else was sending out mixtapes, mix CDs. And I had my own website as DJMystify.com. Wow. So it just grew. And then I was sending out promos to record labels, promotional events, you know, so I could DJ at them. I was only 17. And people started asking me, you know, about the websites and so on. And that became more popular than me getting paid as a DJ. So I was like, okay, let's roll with this, because I'm getting cash, you know, and cash in hand is great. And so fast forward to 2004, I'd finished my degree at my local university, and I landed a job at the university, but in the department where they have funding for small businesses across the region where we're based. And that includes probably cities like Birmingham, which are a bit more popular known. Mm-hmm. And off the back of that, I fast-tracked my way through this job into managing 12 different developers and admin on European-funded projects, basically big money. And so I found myself in this position where I'm managing all these people. And I just got to the point where I realized, like, there's no way for me to grow into the creativity that I have. And I know there's something more for me. And so you asked about what's the pivotal moment. It was that moment there where I realized I'd done everything that I really could do in this job. And the only way to get to the next level was basically to take over my bosses in the department. And that wasn't going to happen anytime soon. And I just started to fall in love more and more with the business that I had as a side hustle. And I was like, this is it. Yeah. I'm going for it. And I remember at the time, my then wife was like, you know, don't do it. People around me, colleagues at work were like, don't do it. Keep the job and just keep it a side hustle. And I just knew, every time somebody said, don't do it, I felt like the walls were closing in more and more. And that was it.
So let's dig into that a little bit more. I want to step back for a second, because you said something that was, I don't want to blow by it. And I want people to get this, because you're talking about 1997. Yeah. You decide that you're going to put this website up. Now, a lot of people might not think that that's a big deal. They may say, oh my gosh, you know, everybody puts website. I can go to Wix or Squarespace and put up a website.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The internet was only about 4 years old at the time. Because, really was launched for public release right around 93, right? And so now you're in this space where you say, oh my gosh, I recognized that I could do things a little bit differently. And in some senses, I mean, MySpace wasn't even around yet, right?
Yeah, correct. Not even right. Facebook, yeah, 2004.
Right. So in some senses, you're ahead of the game at this point.
Yeah.
At 17, in 1997, how did you know that you could take advantage of this really new medium to grow a business?
So it's interesting, actually, because at the time, I'm getting exposed to a lot of music software because of being a DJ. And, I was probably producing for about 18 months now, making music. Mm-hmm. And when you're in those circles, you come across a lot of software. And, you know, back then, that getting pirated software was the way you got software as a young kid in the 90s. And so I'm like 16, 17, right? And yeah. Some of the music software that I want to get my hands on that costs thousands of dollars, like there's just no way for me to get to that. Like I'm just not earning the kind of money. And, you know, my father passed away when I was 11. So my mom's a single mother and she's not earning megabucks, not even, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. And so I get the software and then I'm like, ah, there's this software on here that does websites. And it was literally just like that. You know, I was just checking the CD out, seeing the software, and I thought, let me see what this thing can do. And I thought, you know, I'll come back to it. And then in 97, it was just like, that was the time. I went back to it 3 days later, had a website, had some mixes on there, and I was like, wow.
Yeah. What was that like? Microsoft Front Page?
Exactly. And I started with Front Page. Exactly. And I had Dreamweaver sitting in the background, and that was probably 6 months later.
Wow. Yeah, that was back in the day when Macromedia still owned
like
Dreamweaver and Fireworks. And my goodness, I'm like aging myself, dating myself here, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Good deal. So you say, okay, so you go from this website, you start to recognize that there's business opportunity here because people are asking more about the website than anything else.
But then
DJing. But then later on, skip fast forward a few years, you have people in your space that are telling you, listen, don't go out on your own. Don't do this thing.
Correct.
Don't give up the certain 100% check.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
What is it inside of you at this point that causes you? Go ahead.
It's a great question, you know. So... like back then, I'm like 29. My son is 2 years old. He's my first child. And I can't shift. I just can't shift this thing, you know, and you may know the similar feeling, Robert, but I just can't shake this thing. And it's like, I've got to do this thing. And it doesn't make logical sense to anybody who wants job security or income security. But to me, it was kind of like, like I'd had this side hustle business. It would bring in an extra like $15,000 a year. Like that was cool, paid for extra things, you know, $15,000 goes a long way when you're kind of living in that paycheck, you know, lifestyle, and everything was cool. But there was just more. I knew there was more. And the more I kind of started to explore, I started to come across things like business networking. I'm like 28 at the time. And that was blowing my mind. I was like, wow, I just hadn't been exposed to some of these things. And then by the time I'm 29, I already have an employee in my business whilst I'm working in my paid job for the University of Wolverhampton. And I'm like, okay, I have a team. And it just started to grow and grow, Robert. And it was just literally, everybody was kind of saying no to me, but I knew inside my inner voice was like, you got to go for this, Leon.
Yeah. So you, like many business owners, like myself, you start this business and things are going well for a little bit, but then you have a fail, maybe even a spectacular fail. Let's talk about that and let's talk about what you did. Yeah, let's talk about that. But first, before you do that, let's hear a word from our sponsor for today.
Hey, do you need time to focus on the income generating activities that grow your business? If so, My Office Professionals is the only agency you should consider. As an optimum business support agency, we provide virtual administrative support, online group coaching, technology training, graphic design and web design services through our vendor partnerships. We also help you build relationships using send-out cards, and we offer smart, simple legal coverage through Legal Shield. Contact My Office Professionals today and start growing your business tomorrow. Visit www.myofficeprofessionals.com.
All right. Listen, Teresa Robertson and the company or the team at My Office Professionals are fantastic. If you are a small business owner and you want to grow your business, you want to make sure that you don't appear like somebody who's doing everything themselves and like a small business. You want to grow a team. And so get some arms that are outside of yourself. Get an additional group of people that are going to be able to help you move your business forward, grow your business. Contact My Office Professionals at myofficeprofessionals.com. All right. So let's jump back into this story here with Leon. So you start a business, you know, and you're doing this business right along with your full-time job. And then you get to the space where you say, I'm going to move out on my own and not just have this sole proprietorship, as we call it here, but I'm going to move into the limited liability space. I'm going to have an official business, right? I'm going to have a grown-up business. And so you do that and the business fails. What happens that causes it to fail?
So what I realized, I've got 3 employees by this time, and I'm employing based on the jobs I want to get rid of, yeah, so I can free myself up. But the more that we go deeper into this, I realize that there's less resources going into sales and marketing, and I'm that person. But I'm also coming back to the office after sales meeting, firefighting, where the team are not really picking up. And then one of the team is also helping a little bit with sales and marketing, but they're not really trained up for that. They're kind of, you know, they've shadowed me a little, but then they don't really get it to the depth that I do. And so in the end, we've landed some great clients, and I'm generating on a monthly basis in the region of about $22,000 to $25,000 a month. Mm-hmm. But then what happens is, as I'm firefighting and in the old web design agency days, your payments are linked to you delivering milestones on projects, and we're missing milestones. So I can't invoice, even though I've got contracts that I know the future income is there. And then we're on the tail end of the 2008 credit crunch, and 2009 going into 2010, we have a couple of clients who then go out of business owing us money. Wow. And so leading up to that, I'm taking risks with credit cards, overdrafts in the business to kind of manage the cash gaps. And so when these clients go, the cash gap is just too big for me to stretch to. And, you know, that was the point where I realized, like, okay, there is a problem here. And you got to bear in mind, I have a business coach at the time. And again, this is also another lesson that I picked up that we can touch on later. But the key thing for me, and as I reflect back and look at it, the biggest mistake that I made is that I thought I had it locked in when it comes to sales and marketing, and I didn't. Mm. Yeah, wow. I didn't have a consistent system that generated leads and gave me clients every week or every month. And that was my mistake. And I couldn't have known it at the time, because it's not like I went through any formal education to understand how to run a business. Like, I knew how to do websites, I knew how to get cash. And it was kind of like I was learning as I was going along. But at that stage, I thought I knew what I needed to know, but there was much more, obviously.
Right. So I'm glad you started to kind of link to those two words that are in your background, leads and clients. So it's clear that you started to learn some things based on the failure that you went through at that time. So what would you say is the biggest thing that you learned, and how did that help you begin to now help others through what you do currently?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing that I learned is a lot of people want to go into a business because they have either a skill, or they're infatuated. They're in love with doing something. It might be creating the product or the service or just helping people. But in order to make it a viable business, it has to generate leads, or you have to have the ability to generate leads when you need them. And for those leads to be able to turn into prospects and clients. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned out of it is my ability to generate leads, because any business, you know, every business you can think of, they always want fresh new leads, because your existing customers will take you so far. Unfortunately, at the time, my existing customers at the time before the business failed were the ones actually carrying the business, right?
Yeah.
And so you always have to look after your customers, but you need fresh new leads. And what I started to really dial into is how to generate leads and how to convert more people into customers, and really just learn the principles and the art of what it meant to actually, you know, increase the results of what I was doing. And so I think the biggest thing for me, and what I learned and what I teach others now, is how to generate leads and turn them into clients confidently. And we can dive into more of that if you want.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, so when you talk about leads, when you talk about clients, I mean, I think a lot of business owners, I think you've alluded to this as well. A lot of business owners come into the game, you know, they say, oh, I've got a passion for something, or I want to sell t-shirts. Let me just get an Etsy shop or whatever and start doing that. Right. What is the most ignored thing? What do you think is the most ignored thing that a lot of business owners just don't pay attention to, especially in the early stages? What do you find yourself saying over and over again as you're a business coach to some of your small businesses?
The most ignored thing is understanding your target audience, your niche, right? Mm-hmm. In the UK, we say niche. I know you guys in America say niche. But I say that with a level that you have to go deeper into. And it's a very, it's not like this deep level where you've got to have a PhD to understand. It's just a level where you, if you go deeper, that's how you stand apart from all your competitors and everybody else. And and that level is simply, what are your audience going through, your niche from an emotional point of view with the problem they have? And what emotions are they going through with the desires that they have once they fix that problem? Mm-hmm. And that's the most overlooked thing that I come across in marketing, because people are looking for something like magical, like this magic wand or this silver bullet to have this amazing campaign and they're just going to generate leads. And what they forget and what they miss is the source is actually their niche, their very target audience. But most people don't understand how to just go to that next level. And it's not a difficult thing, but it is a process that you have to have a structure around.
Right. So I guess the hard question for some people, and maybe your clients give you this question as well. Do I need to have just one niche or target audience, or can I work with a couple of different types of people?
It depends on the size of your business. And
Okay.
And so for me, what I find is that most people, they start off with, I don't want a niche because I don't want to miss any opportunities. And so they kind of go, everybody. The trouble with that is most small businesses don't have that kind of budget, right? They have this kind of budget and they have this amount of time. And because they're busy doing all the other roles in their business. And so for me, if you're a business that's playing under seven figures, $1 million, you should focus on one niche, because you probably haven't maximized that niche with your efforts, with your budget, and with the potential that it has for you. And this is where most people go wrong. And a niche doesn't mean, oh, I have to stick to this specific category. Your niche means that you have to stick to the reasons why people are going to buy from you related to the problem that you help them fix. And this is where people kind of get mixed up. They're like, oh, I need to choose like a category and, you know, lawyers. And it might not be lawyers. It might be professionals who have a specific problem with a specific part of business or something to do with their life, depending on what type of business and service and products you offer those people. And I think this is where people kind of get mixed up. But, you know, there's a lot of great literature I've read as well, just probably like you, Robert. But one of the biggest things that, or some of the biggest books that I've come across are people like Chet Holmes, you know, the ultimate sales machine. Like I learned a lot from these guys, you know, guys who had been there, worked with the greats. And also another great book that I come across in my time, which mentors recommend to me, was Ready, Fire, Aim. And a lot of these books show you like factual results, like Good to Great as well, Jim Collins. And when you start to understand the potential in any niche, if you go deep, if you go all in on it, it's there. But most people are kind of like what I've been as well. We all have it to some degree. And it's the bright, shiny object syndrome. It's like, oh, there's another niche, or there's another opportunity there. Maybe I can get multiple streams of income. And what they realize is that they haven't got one that they can rely on. That's the challenge.
Wow. So let me dig there a little bit further. Is it really just the bright, shiny object syndrome for people? Is it just that people are saying, oh my gosh, there's something new, multiple streams? Or is it the fear of missing out on something due to desperation or lack of funds or money or something? What do you find is the big reason, the biggest reason why people are fearful of choosing a specific niche?
I think the biggest reason probably comes back to fear. And I think the easiest way to describe it as well from a human point of view is, especially in this day and age, like the underlying thing is fear, Robert, for sure. Mm-hmm. But the thing that pulls people off of wherever their path is leading them is simply that we're distracted. We're a distracted society. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we allow distractions to be part of our life to the point where people are saying, oh, but that needs to be done, or I need to do that. And they make it kind of like, oh, what's the latest Netflix series that I need to binge on? Right. Yeah. And like, I'm a person who enjoys downtime and entertainment time. I've got three kids, a wife, and, you know, like I do different things. But what I'm getting to is that most people, when they go in business, they're not all in. Like, you would only have to look to the likes of people like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and say, what kind of intensity did these guys have with their career? And then look at a small business owner and say, can you give me that? Yeah. Mm. And that's not easy to do. Yeah. But if you can go all in and remove the distractions one by one, then you can get to the root of like, is this even the right direction for me? And you start losing things like fear, because you're playing so hard, you don't have space or time for fear. And for me, that's what I've come to as a conclusion. The biggest way that I support my clients, which is like, it blew my mind in the early days, but now as a visionary marketing coach, the biggest thing I get from my clients is they're like, Leon, we trust you because you care for us. Right. Yeah. And the biggest place that I care, Robert, is I help them to see their misbehaviors and their distractions. And I only do that because then they allow the marketing to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know what? So I want to ask you a question that may be an indictment on some marketers at this point. I think there are two words that may be missing when marketers talk about what business owners should do. And when they say, you know, you need to choose a niche, or you need to choose one niche, the two words that may be missing is you need to choose a niche right now. Right? Or for now, because and I think you alluded to, depending on the size of your business, you can open up a bit once you have established something and you've established some momentum or consistency in certain areas, particularly the financial area of things. So why is it that marketers usually don't say it's okay to have multiple when you have reached? They just say, no, don't. You need to do it this way for small business owners.
Yeah, that's a great question. And just so I understand you, when you say, why do marketers say that you shouldn't have multiple niches? Is that right?
Yeah.
For small businesses?
Yes. Okay, cool. That's the majority of what I've heard.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I say this because it depends on your business model. And it depends, obviously, on the kind of products and services you want to put out there. Because for every don't do that, there is somebody out there doing it successfully, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that always, like, but if you want a structure that you can follow where, let's say you're not quite at the level where you want to be, or you've been stuck there for some time, let's say you're at kind of like six figures and you want to go from 100 to a quarter of a million, right? Mm-hmm. And beyond. Most of the time, when it comes to marketing, people have distraction in their niche, meaning they've got too many things going on. It's like, oh, I have a product for these people when they want that. Oh, actually, I'll give you a quick story. So I got one of my clients. She's like a business/life coach. Yeah. So she comes from this kind of energetical place, like where people have money blocks in order to allow them to grow. And so recently she messaged me. She was away for 2 months. Actually, she traveled back to New Jersey. She's based in the UK, but she's from America. And so she'd come back and she said, you know, I had 2 months off, I had the greatest summer ever, blah, 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 blah. But right now I've got a challenge with sales. Like, I've got some clients in one program, some clients in another program, and they're not really the programs I want to sell. I want to sell this kind of combined program. I'm like, well, that's the thing that you've got to sell. But the trouble with that is, and the example I'm sharing with you is that it's different niches, right? So when you have different niches, you're going to provide different products, potentially, yeah? You may not, but potentially, right? Or there's going to be some differentiation based on the niche. And so you create now a business model where you've got to support multiple products instead of one, yeah? Or you've got to create multiple products for multiple niches. And as a business model, you don't have to put yourself through that level of complexity, even if at this stage you feel like, well, that's normal. You know, I provide my customers with many different types of things. When you learn how to scale a business, you start to build in simplicity. So as a quick example, imagine if I have one product now that can help business owners market their business, and I'm selling that for $20,000 for the year. I only need 5 clients to do 100. I only need 10 to do 200. Yeah, I only need 15 to do 300. And like, we're not talking like huge numbers, like I need 100 clients. Right. And this is the point that I often find that most people don't understand, that actually they haven't dialed in their niche to even know that they can take their prices to even a higher level where they actually can deliver perhaps what they were going to deliver anyway, but their prices are now 10, 20, 50, 100 times more than what they were about to charge. And so for me, coming back to the point is, yes, you could have multiple niches, and yes, you could have potentially a six-figure business, but at what price is it going to cost you in terms of profit, time that you have away from your family, time that you have away from the life you said you were going to have? And I think this is the challenge that most people don't realize that they're going into, when actually, if they could pause and say, what's the life I want to create, and how best could I simplify my business to support that life, I think people would look at it a bit different.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Leon, man, we could go on and go deep on this conversation forever and ever here, right? But I want you to wrap us by telling us a little bit. I know there's a program, there's something that you offer. As a matter of fact, if people, we're going to bring that up on the screen right below you soon, but talk to us about where people can find you and how you help them online.
Yeah. So the best place to find me is probably Facebook and LinkedIn. I'm on all the main social media channels, but you know, Facebook is where I'm at most of the time. And the kind of things that I do, I help coaches, life coaches, consultants, and online business owners leverage online marketing. And I show them how to generate 10K per month plus, so that they can take their business to a new place using a very simple model without the overwhelm of marketing strategy, without the challenge of slow lead flow, and the ability to close high ticket sales off the back of that. That's the kind of thing that I do. The program, the starter program that I have for people who are on that target, that journey of doing 10 to 15K a month consistently, is called Vortex Accelerator. And if you're interested, simply contact me on Facebook or LinkedIn. Just ask for more details. We won't pitch you. We'll just send you details and you can make a decision on your own.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, listen, for those of you that are watching this episode, you can also go to rk3tv.live/elevate. ELEV8, and you can be taken to Leon's information and his program as well. So we are so glad that you were here today, my friend. Thanks so much. Hang out in the green room for just a few moments and we're going to wrap this show up. All right. Well, listen, I just want to share with you that this was not just a fantastic episode, but it was a fantastic story. If you are someone who has a challenge enter your space, if you are someone who maybe has started a business and you've encountered failure in that business, know that that failure does not define you. Know that that failure doesn't mean that you're at the end of the road, but decide what are the lessons that you need to learn from that. Decide how you are going to implement the lessons that you've learned and what will be your road going forward. As we said at the end of every episode, everything that happens to you in life is not your final. It's just your stuff. Your stuff is your story, and your story, yeah, your story deserves a stage. I'm Robert Kennedy III, RK3. I'll see you on the next episode of the What's My Story podcast. Peace.